coming up on this episode of Mouse Kingdoms Weekly, new policies for the U.S. parks, a scary incident in Paris causes the resort to go on lockdown,
and Mickey and Minnie sport new faces in Tokyo, the Star Festival is returning, and more. Mouse Kingdoms Weekly starts now.
Welcome to Mouse Kingdoms Weekly, a podcast about the Disney parks all around the world. We cover the latest news and information from around the parks, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at mousekingdoms.com. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside of the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of Mouse Kingdoms Weekly for the week of April 2nd, 2019. I'm Tag.
And I'm Terry. Thank you for joining us on the very first episode of Mouse Kingdoms Weekly. I'm looking forward to a magical podcast journey with you all.
Yeah, Terry, you're going to do great. You don't have to, for the listeners, she's been a little nervous about this, but I think she's going to do great. It's going to be a great episode. We're going to figure out how we kind of want to do the format of the show, so things will be changing as time goes on, but it's the first episode, so, you know, things will be okay. What do you think, James?
Well, I think we're all very excited for this. The possibilities are limitless.
It's true. It's true. Well, we have a bunch of ways to communicate with us and let us know what you want to see from the show. The best way is by sending us an email at feedback@mousekingdoms.com. You can also leave a review on iTunes, send us some snail mail to the P.O. Box listed on our website at mousekingdoms.com, or become a supporter on Patreon and join the supporter Discord server. We look forward to hearing from you and getting to know all of you better.
And you want to support the show and keep the episodes flowing? Then head on over to mousekingdoms.com/support to become a supporter. Anyone who becomes a supporter in the first month will get a special thank you gift that will only be available this one time. You can become a supporter for as little as 25 cents an episode, but for 75 cents an episode, you get access to us all week in the supporter only chat.
After listening to this episode, you will probably want to book a trip to one of the parks. It can be overwhelming and a lot of work. We've worked with Mike and James over at Concierge for some time and have come to really love them for handling our trips to the parks. For those of you who don't know them, Concierge offers vacation planning to you at no additional cost. The price that you would pay for your Disney trip if you booked yourself is the same price you pay if you have Concierge do all the work for you. Why wait? Give the official travel planners of Mouse Kingdoms Weekly a call and get the first year of touring plans for free. Head on over to mousekingdoms.com to find a link to their website and find out more.
Now let's get to the news.
Oh, all this controversial stuff right in the beginning. It's going to be a fiery episode, I can tell already. Well, beginning May 1st at all U.S. parks, new guidelines will be in place for strollers. The new guideline limits stroller sizes to 31 inches wide by 52 inches long. A lot of strollers sold currently fit into those dimensions, even double jogging strollers. Wagons have never been allowed, but there were some wagon stroller hybrids that were allowed, but will not be any longer starting on May 1st.
Well, I kind of like this idea because I think some of those stroller wagons were getting obnoxiously big. It's getting more crowded in the parks with, you know, the more parks that are opening and more people. And I don't know. I like that they're limiting the size.
I do too.
Yeah.
I have not seen these wagons like in person, but in a couple places I looked at online today, I saw these pictures of these wagons and they're huge. I can't even imagine, if I had one of these, I can't even imagine trying to push one around the park.
Yeah, they're obnoxious. I mean, the kids can actually lay down on them. There's, you know, 2-3 kids in there at once, and then they have their coolers and their bags, and then there's a little a canopy over them. Yeah, they're pretty big.
Wow. Now, yeah. you took kids and stuff to the park, and you took your grandkids also to the park. Did you guys use strollers or a wagon, or...?
We did, when I took my kids when they were little, we rented a stroller from the parks. Recently, when we took our grandkids, we did have a double-sided stroller, the jogging one, which was big, but it maneuvered easy through the crowds. You know, it's not as big as those wagons where you're pulling and you can't control or see where you're going with that wagon, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was a little surprised that Disney decided to kind of limit this in a way, because I mean, they haven't before. And I feel like if you go to the link in our show notes to the Disney Parks blog post that we got this information from, there's some people in the comments that are very upset about this. They want their wagons. They want their strollers. They don't understand how Disney could be taking away, you know, their favorite thing. So it's definitely interesting.
That it is. Well, hopefully, I'm sure it'll work out. You know,
me too. Yeah.
They stop things and people get used to it and they just move on. So I'm sure it'll be fine eventually.
Absolutely.
Oh, and another wide ranging policy change in the U.S. parks was the removal of all smoking areas from the parks. Woohoo! Starting on May 1st, smoking, including vaping, will not be allowed in the parks. Designated smoking areas will be available outside of the parks for guest use.
This is another one of those policy changes that I am happy to see, but was not thinking Disney was ever going to do. What do you think, Terry?
No, I like that they stopped the smoking. I mean, it is family, and even with the vaping, you get those, you know, clouds of smoke, you know, walking around the parks or, you know, even in the other areas. I mean, you can smell it, you know, and you don't want to smell cigarette smoke. You want to smell, you know, cotton candy and, you know, popcorn and, you know, all the good smells at Disney, not cigarette smoke, you know. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, me too. It's just so cool. They're doing all this at the same time, but it makes some sense. Well, a policy change that didn't wait until May 1st was the removal of loose ice being allowed in the U.S. parks. This includes inside of coolers that you were still allowed to bring. If you want to keep your items cool, you'll need to bring reusable ice packs. You're also able to visit any quick service dining location for a free cup of ice. I also heard that they are allowing you to bring Ziploc bags with ice inside. They just want to make it, the reasoning behind this is they want to make it easier at security to be able to go through any coolers and make sure there isn't anything bad in there, I guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was wondering about, you know, the loose ice, what does that have to do? But I thought, like, melting or whatever. But, oh, that makes sense. Because then you don't have to scoop through it to find things. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, because you can hide all types of stuff. But I can imagine some security folks not wanting to be digging through people's coolers all the time.
Right.
I still find it quite amazing, actually, that, and I honestly, for a long time, I didn't even know this, but you can bring food and stuff into the Disney parks. Like, I didn't even know you could bring coolers and stuff in for a long time. I mean, I've known for a little while now, but, you know, so the fact that they're just kind of limiting this and not getting rid of it totally, I think is good.
Right. I agree. I think that they can still bring it in. That saves a lot of money for people and just having that. I mean, we bring food in all the time too. You know, I just... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to ask you when you guys went, it was quite a big group with little kids and stuff. So, you guys had a cooler with a bunch of different food and stuff?
When we went years ago, when my kids were little, we actually had a cooler, but we didn't pack ice or anything. It was like an insulated, you know, cooler. So it kept things cold and you knew just freeze stuff. And then when you're ready to eat it, then it's thawed. But most recently, I think we just packed food. You know, we just didn't take stuff that needed to be refrigerated or would get melted or whatever, you know.
Right. And that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why do you want to sit and carry all that around anyway, either, you know?
Which is why I never understood, bringing a cooler and stuff. Or even, you know, one of the arguments that people have for bringing larger strollers was because they want to use it to carry some of their stuff. And I'm like, why don't you just bring less stuff? I mean, I get it with like small kids and stuff. If you need like a diaper bag or snacks or whatever, I get kind of that. But at that point, I just feel like I would just carry a backpack of some sort. But again, I'm not a parent, so...
Right, right. I mean, I can see the strollers, but, you know, to pack, you know, breakfast, lunch, and supper. I mean, you're going to the parks, you know, you got to have some of the snacks and food there. I don't know. I can see bringing some food in, but some people were, you know, once again, excessive with some of the sizes of their coolers, you know, and what they were all bringing in, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think there's a small portion of people that are excessive, like you said, but I think the vast majority of people aren't, but
right.
The few people make a big difference for everybody else.
Exactly. That's how it always goes. unfortunately.
Yep.
All right, so we got the Walt Disney World Resort has announced more dates for Disney After Hours events for Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. If you want to experience these parks with minimal crowds and some great food and souvenir perks, we highly recommend that you get these tickets. The tickets are only $125 plus tax in advance and $129 plus tax on the day of. If you're an annual pass holder, get a discounted price of $95 plus tax. That's quite a savings. Mm-hmm. The events run for 3 hours after regular park hours, typically letting you into the park at 7 and running till midnight or 1 a.m.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people on YouTube that go to these events, and the parks feel very empty, which I think is a major plus, because sometimes you go into the parks and they are super crowded and you have to wait hours and hours and hours for things. So I think paying a little premium like this, even though it is for a shorter amount of time, they do let you into the park at 7, even though the park itself may not close till 9 or 10. You do get in a couple hours before closing and are allowed to stay after the general guests leave and get to stay till midnight or one. And Terry, I don't know if you knew this about me, but I've talked about it quite a lot on the other podcast. I love the Disney parks at night. I think that they're beautiful at night. In fact, I would be the type of person, if they had an overnight ticket or something, I would love to stay the night in the park just to have like nighttime in the parks, because I think it's gorgeous. I love all their lighting and theming and stuff at night. During the day is nice, but at night is great.
Oh yeah, nighttime, it makes a big difference. Yeah, can you imagine sleeping in a sleeping bag under, you know, like in Pandora? That would be like beautiful in that area, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what do you think about these after hours events?
I like them. I think they're a little expensive, but you know, for what, like you said, the parks are a lot less crowded, you know, and you can probably ride rides 3-4 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would do it once or twice, you know, with seeing the parks getting so crowded during the day, especially with Star Wars, you know, and Toy Story Land still being so popular, you know, you might have to, you know, put out this little bit of amount to be able to experience that at a, you know, a moderate crowd or less, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's where the value comes from. Sure, the tickets are priced about the price of a single one-day non-park hopper ticket. However, the fact that you, in the 3 or 4 hours that you get for paying that, you get to experience basically an entire day's worth of attractions, because you don't have to wait as long in the lines. Yep.
Right.
So
right.
Totally yeah. Worth it.
Right. I agree. I would be tempted to do that.
Yeah. Well, up until 2011, you could purchase a commemorative brick that would be placed in front of the Magic Kingdom or the Ticket and Transportation Center. You could customize the brick with a graphic at the top, a saying or name in the middle, and a date at the bottom. The bricks were called the Disney's Walk Around the World. Disney will begin removing the bricks in an effort to enhance the guest arrival process. If you have one of these bricks, you can order a commemorative version of it between now and August 31st, 2019. Unfortunately, you will not be able to get your actual brick once it is removed. Did you have one? You didn't have one of these bricks, or did you ever consider getting one of these bricks, Terry?
I did not, and have you? I mean, I'm trying to think if I haven't even seen those.
Yeah, so I actually have one. I did not, not at Disney World. I have one at Disneyland, because they have the same kind of bricks in between the two parks in California.
Okay.
And I did not purchase them. I thought it was super cool. I loved the idea. But actually, my friends got together and got it, like 3 or 4 of my friends got together and pooled their money and got it for a birthday present for me. And I love it. And one of the fun things that we ask listeners of the other show, DL Weekly, to do is if they go to the park and they find my brick, to take a picture with it. And if they send that in, we send them like a pin or something, like some little special souvenir thing for finding the brick. And I like it because I have not been able to see my brick for a few years now, not being able to go out to the park, but it was nice that I could still see how my brick was doing with listeners that were sending pictures in. So, but these apparently are right in front of the Magic Kingdom, kind of where the security tents were, and then they're in front of the Ticket and Transportation Center. And the reasoning that they're removing them is they are trying to rearrange how they're doing the security tents and stuff, and I think they're just going to get torn up a little bit, and I think that they'd rather just remove them than have something that's torn up left there.
Right, right, right. And it's nice that you can get a commemorative one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's definitely really a nice souvenir to have, you know. So even though I'm sure, you know, if it stayed in the on the grounds, I mean, it's going to get worn out from just weather and, you know, just nature. But to have a commemorative one, I think it's going to be that'd be a kind of a nice souvenir to have.
Yeah, I actually have like a plexiglass version of the one that I have from Disneyland, and I think it's great. I love it. I love being able to turn around and look at it and know that the same exact thing is in, you know, a brick in the ground somewhere. So it's nice that they gave that option.
Yeah, that's kind of a neat thing. Oh, mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool. That was very nice friends of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great gift.
So it is an elaborate, like, Cars Land of California Adventure at Disneyland in Anaheim, but Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World has some Cars representation. The area is just off the Rock and Roller Coaster Courtyard in the Sunset Showcase space. The new area has a meet and greet with Cruz Ramirez, which was previously located elsewhere in Hollywood Studios last year, and a pretty neat 10-minute show with an animatronic Lightning McQueen and some interaction with a large 200-foot wide screen that wraps to either side of the audience. Cool.
Yeah, yeah, this is pretty neat. So I haven't seen any videos of the actual performance because they do say at the beginning that it is, you know, they discourage video photography. But Disney did release a video of this, which you can find at the link in our show notes. And it's pretty cool. I mean, I've been to Cars Land a bunch of times, and Cars Land's pretty cool. But this is kind of a different experience because he kind of does like a car simulation, like he's racing thing. It just looks really neat. Of course, the audio animatronics are very fluid and awesome looking. And so I think it's a great kind of addition. There's been rumors at Hollywood Studios that now that Toy Story Land is complete and Galaxy's Edge is rushing towards completion, that the next thing would be some other type of Pixar area. So Cars Land, that kind of thing. But yeah, so I think it's nice to have some Cars representation in Hollywood Studios because I know Cars is very popular with everybody. So I think it's a good thing. What do you think? I mean, did you watch any of the video or anything from this, Terry?
I have not. No, I didn't do it.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. You'll have to let me know what you think when you go watch it because it's pretty sweet.
I will have to, yeah.
Well, over on DL Weekly, we've talked a lot about the different colors of ears, spirit jerseys, and even the food. Well, a new rose gold variation called Briar Rose Gold has debuted. For those of you who aren't aware, Briar Rose is Princess Aurora. There are Minnie Mouse ear headbands, a tumbler, and of course, a spirit jersey. What do you think about all the different colors of merchandise, Terry? The rose gold, the potion purple, the what else did they have?
Dapper yellow
came out.
they got the donut ones.
Mm.
I like them, I think, because everybody has their own personality, their own favorite, you know, character or color, whatever. And, you know, this personalizes things more for individual people, I think, you know. Not everybody's going to have the same Mickey ears on. Like, oh, where'd you get those? Or I like those. And yeah, I think it's fun. I think I like it.
Well, the next time you go, are you going to, do you have a favorite color that you want to go get?
Of course, Mickey's my favorite, but so
just the plain Mickey, huh?
Yeah, I know. But there's even a variety of Mickeys. I mean, there's just not a Mickey ear. I mean, there's, you know, different colors and occasions for Mickey ears, even, you know. So I mean, there's a lot to choose from. There's something for everybody,
and that's good, right? Because you want to be able to have a good selection.
Yep.
And I totally agree with you. I think having it so you don't have the same ears as everybody else, I think, is great. I think having variety and being able to walk around and have something unique, I think, is really nice. Because I like being that person, and I like being the person that sees it as well, where you're walking through and you're like, oh, where did they get that? And then you have to ask them, where did you get those? Oh, I got them over in a shop over there, you know?
Right. And there's being such a variety of ears, you know, you have that one special one you pick out for yourself. And then out of 40,000 people, someone else has that same ear. And it kind of gives you a little connection with that person. Like, hey, I like your ears, you know, because you have the same one. So,
right. Yep.
You know, it's kind of a fun thing to do too.
Yep. Know. Well, something else. So people, this is the first time we've done this show, and I wanted to interlude before Terry read her story here, and that is we're covering a bunch of parks. So that kind of wrapped up our Walt Disney World news segment, and the next couple stories here are actually going to be from Disneyland Paris. So what's going on in Disneyland Paris, Terry?
Well, there was a scary incident for guests at Disneyland Paris after an electrical malfunction caused a panic at the parks. Disneyland Paris evacuated some guests and put the resort on lockdown, oh my goodness, after the false alarm led to rumors of a terrorist attack and gunshots over social media, causing panic among the guests. Oh my gosh, that would have been horrible.
Well, you know, I was, I first found out about this Disneyland Paris incident on Twitter. I was just going through my feed, I believe, you know, middle of the day or whatever, and I saw that there was, I saw it kind of in chronological order. So I saw like people are on lockdown and there's, you know, and there was video of people like on the floor in some of the stores and kind of cast members kind of ushering people to kind of safety. And I was like, oh man, what is going on over there? And it turns out that there was some form of electrical malfunction on some stairways that collapsed. And people heard that noise and they thought that it was gunshots or, you know, sure, from a terrorist attack. And so and then, of course, with social media, people didn't know what it was. So, you know, if they thought they heard gunshots, of course, people go right online and they go, we just heard what might have been gunshots. And of course, everybody else starts seeing that and panic.
Right.
But officers showed up and they cleared the area and there wasn't anything. It was just this electrical malfunction. But man, can you imagine being in the parks and experiencing that? I mean, it's supposed to be a Disney park. You know, you're supposed to have the time of your life and then this is going on.
Right, right. That's an unfortunate incident there. Yeah. Well, glad no one got hurt and it was just something simple, you know, not that it really was terrorists or gunshots, you know. I mean, yeah, so that's a good thing.
In better news for Disneyland Paris, I'm actually very excited to report this story. After more than 10 years, the Disneyland Paris Resort has finally posted a profit. The European park has struggled since its opening back in 1992, even after the Walt Disney Company stepped in 2012 and provided funding to repay loan debts, leading to the company taking full ownership in 2017. Disney invested $225 million in 2018 to renovate the attractions and hotels for its 25th anniversary. Another $2.4 billion will be invested at the resort to bring Star Wars, Frozen, and Marvel lands and add 1,000 jobs. Whew. I find it hard as somebody who has grown up in the United States and have had Disneyland and Disney World, and they are so profitable. I like to joke that they literally just print money. It's amazing to me that there is a park, a Disney park somewhere that for 10 years, over 10 years, did not make money.
Right. Yeah.
And I think part of that, I actually went to Disneyland Paris in 2012, which is right after the Disney company stepped in. And I was there for the 20th anniversary, which I thought there's spectacular they had on the castle was amazing, but a lot of stuff was closed. It did not feel like a Disney park. A lot of the stuff was kind of not kept up very well. I really wanted to ride the Disneyland Paris Railroad because I love riding the train. The train was closed, like it had only run like in the morning, and there was a bunch of like food locations and stuff that were closed, so it was really challenging to have a full day. I mean, we were only there the one day, but to, you know, have like a full Disney day at Disneyland Paris back in 2012. So I'm glad to see that Disney's invested a bunch of money in it and that it's, and that people are coming back.
You know, and I think I see more and more about Disneyland Paris also just on, you know, Facebook or Instagram, you know, so I think the more it's getting advertised more and people are talking about it more. So I think more people are going. So I think it's just going to get better and better.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, here's the $1 million question, Terry. What do you think of the castle at Disneyland Paris?
You know, I like the Disney World, our Disney World castle the best. I mean, they're all really nice. You know, they all have their distinct own little castle, but it looks nice. I mean, I like it.
I
mean, you saw it, you know, in person. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's, you know, seeing pictures is probably different than actually seeing it.
Well, I'll tell you this. So I think my opinion is that the Disneyland Paris castle is the most beautiful Disney castle ever created. I think it is gorgeous. However, in pictures, it looks huge. But it was really weird because when we got there and we got onto Main Street and we looked down Main Street at the castle, it's definitely bigger than Disneyland because Disneyland is the smallest of the Disney castles. But I would argue and say that I don't even think that it's as tall as Cinderella Castle at Magic Kingdom. I think it's smaller than that. Yeah, it just looks really large though. But it's gorgeous. I don't know. I like that it looks like it's built in the side of the hill and everything. So
I guess I'll have to go see it firsthand then. So
yeah. Well, I know, Terry, that your soft spot, just like I have a soft spot for Disneyland, your soft spot is for Disney World.
Well, that's because that's the only place I've been to so far.
Yeah. We're going to try to change that. We're going to try to fly you all over the world.
I need to experience more. You bet. You bet. So, of course, with all that investment means higher prices. Annual pass prices are increasing on April 2nd, anywhere from €20 for the Discovery Pass, €50 for the Infinity Pass.
Of course, you know, things are going to be open later. You know, they're adding more experiences. They're spending $2 billion, you know, whatever dollars on adding new stuff to it. So, of course, annual pass prices are going to go up. It just, to me, it kind of makes sense.
Exactly. I agree 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that kind of does it for news from Disneyland Paris. We do have one story from Shanghai Disneyland, and then the rest of our stories today are going to be from the Tokyo Disneyland Resort. So from Shanghai, there isn't really a lot going on right now. The resort did just open a couple years ago. They're not really doing, you know, a ton of newsworthy stuff that's timely for this episode, but this might be of interest to some of you. Back in January, the resort announced the offering of annual pass tickets. It did not open with annual passes. You cannot get an annual pass on opening day. Well, there are three options to choose from. The Sunday annual pass, which includes a minimum of 45 days throughout the year and includes most Sundays, and that will be $192 US for adults and $144 for children. The weekday and Sunday pass, which includes a minimum of 250 days of park access and includes most weekends, Sundays, and part of the summer and winter holidays, runs $237 for adults and $178 for children. And finally, the Any Day annual pass includes access 365 days a year, hence the name Any Day, for $489 for adults and $367 for children. Almost every Disney park has annual passes at this point, and I think that a lot of the diehards have annual passes, so I think it's good that Shanghai is offering some annual passes. Hopefully that'll allow more people to go that live closer and experience more stuff while they're there, and they'll add more and more stuff.
Well, I agree. I mean, I don't know what, you know, why they didn't do it like right away. I mean, as soon as the resort's open, you know, that they don't offer the annual passes for, like, we have them, you know.
It's true. I was kind of surprised too, but you know, I would have thought that anytime they open a park, they'd do annual passes, but maybe I guess they're just trying to see if they can get people to buy more day tickets, which obviously are going to earn them more money each individual day that people go. But annual passes, I think people spend more money on other things, you know, merchandise, food. They're more willing to come back. Free advertisement, I'm sure, you know, that they tell their friends and family and get more people to go. So I don't know. I like annual passes.
Oh, I do too. I mean, if I live close to one, I definitely would have an annual pass.
I'm surprised you don't have an annual pass, even though you don't live as close.
Yeah, I got to work on that. So, you know. So anyway, so Mickey and Minnie have put on different faces at Tokyo Disneyland. The new look has caused record lines at resort as guests flood in to meet the characters. If you've been to any of the other Disney parks anywhere in the world, the new look won't surprise you, as Tokyo is the last resort to make the change. If you want to see it in Tokyo, you could find yourself waiting up to 6 to 10 hours. I'm not sure I would wait 6 to 10 hours. But if you don't have a choice, I suppose, you know.
It's a really strange phenomenon there. In all of the stuff I've ever read or looked at, I did a lot of research leading up to this show launching about, like, I read a bunch of stories and I was like, what is this about? You know, I ended up down a bunch of rabbit holes. People that go to Tokyo, especially the Japanese residents that go to Tokyo Disneyland. First of all, one of the best things is that they, like, when they line up for stuff, they're very courteous, and they all stay in their dedicated line. And if Disney doesn't, like, put up barriers, people just make an orderly line. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
And when they have, like, shows, like the fireworks or the parades, everyone sits down, and there's no kids up on shoulders or anything. It's just such a different culture and experience there. And I'm very excited to go to Tokyo Disney at some point, because I would love to experience a
courtesy
show like that. Well, I mean, I'm sure we could have an entire episode on courtesy and manners and stuff in the park. But right. James and I were very surprised. When we went to Epcot and we wanted to watch Illuminations, we came in and we sat down, and all of us were sitting on the ground waiting for Illuminations, and like literally 30 seconds before Illuminations started, everyone stood up.
Oh.
And I turned to James and I'm like, everybody had a good seat. Nobody was blocking anybody. Like, why did everybody just stand up?
Right.
It was very disappointing.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't think I would wait in line 6 to 10 hours to see these characters either, but people do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Well, for Easter, the Tokyo Disney Resort hotels are offering specialty food and beverages. The new food includes a mini Easter bread that looks really fun, a strawberry and mousse dessert that's inside of a plastic egg, and more. For drinks, there's a mango and kiwi drink, a yogurt and orange drink with tapioca, and more. These all look so refreshing and colorful. I sent this link to Teresa, and because she loves Disney food, and she doesn't think she could eat any of this because it looks so pretty. She couldn't destroy it.
She couldn't ruin it. Oh.
I mean, it's cool looking. I've seen a lot of videos on YouTube of people going to Tokyo Disneyland, and they have definitely like the most outrageous food concoctions. I mean, their artwork. And so I'm kind of with Teresa with the idea of not being able to eat some of the food.
Well, that just makes it more fun. The more fun it looks, the more fun to dig in and enjoy it.
Would you be able to eat like some bread that looked exactly like Minnie Mouse?
Sure.
Cannibal Terry, just gonna eat it all. Eat her. Who cares? It's like
poor
when you get
Minnie.
The,
yeah. I just won't look in her eyes when I tear it off or something.
It's like the when you get the little Easter Bunny candies and you always bite its ears off first.
Poor little guy. Yeah. The Japanese Tanabata, or Star Festival, is returning to Tokyo Resort in June. From June 2nd to July 7th, you can meet Disney characters in traditional costumes taking part on the Japanese event. There will be character greetings, decorations, and more. Every night, the World Bazaar will transform into Starlight Wishing's Place, with lighting effects and Tanabata-themed music.
For those who may not know, World Bazaar is kind of Tokyo Disneyland's main street. They call it World Bazaar. And it's covered because they have monsoon season and whatnot. So unlike the U.S. parks that do not have a covering, they actually have a covering, which I think is kind of cool. But they have projections for this Starlight Wishing Place that go onto the building. So if you've been to Disneyland, I know for sure recently, and I don't think Magic Kingdom and Disney World does this yet, but all of Main Street has projections up and down the street, and that's kind of what this looks like. But it looks like the Milky Way kind of projected on this, main entranceway to Tokyo Disneyland, and it just looks amazing to me. I'm kind of a sucker for projections in a way. I don't like too many projections. Because I'd rather have fireworks too. I feel like they're doing a lot of replacing fireworks with projections. But this looks amazing, and I would love to see this and check out the Star Festival. It sounds so interesting.
Yeah, it does. You know, and with the projections, I mean, if they're done right, I mean, they can be awesome. You know, so yeah.
Well, the Tokyo Disneyland Resort has asked for and has been approved for an increase on their catastrophic line of credit that would be used in case of the park being out of commission for any reason. With the new line of credit, the Oriental Land Company, which owns the resort, could shut the parks down for up to 6 months. It's not unheard of for the resort to have shut down for long periods of time. Back in 2011, When a tsunami hit and there were unplanned power outages, the resort closed for over a month, losing an estimated $400 million in profits.
That's crazy. A month, $400 million in profits.
Mm-hmm. The fact that they have enough insurance, basically, to cover their losses for the parks to be down up to 6 months. That's half a year. Can you imagine a Disney park being closed for half a year? That is nuts.
Yeah, that's especially for those annual pass holders. What they do,
right?
You know, they pay that money for that, and then they close the parks on them. You know, but
I guess if you're waiting in line 6 to 10 hours to meet a character, I guess 6 months isn't too bad. Maybe,
yeah. Just extend that a little bit. Yeah, well, that's. I suppose I never heard that one of the that Tokyo closed for that amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense, you know, if there's natural disasters, you know, here in the States, you know, the Magic Kingdom and all of the Disney World Resort closed when we had those hurricanes last year.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, Tokyo has all types, they have earthquakes and tsunamis and everything else.
Yeah, wow.
And they're in an active earthquake area, they're part of the Ring of Fire. So, I mean, who knows, if they get a bad enough earthquake, maybe it does take them 6 months to get things up. I'm glad that they got some credit, though, to make sure that that they could continue to be profitable, because that'd be a shame if the Tokyo Disneyland Resort is like, people hold it on such a high pedestal of the pinnacle of best Disney parks anywhere in the world. And if, you know, something were to happen and for some reason they couldn't continue to operate, that'd be a shame. So,
yeah. Wow. All right. So now let's take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James tries to stump us with Disney trivia. He will read us a question, we will attempt to answer them, and then James will give us the correct answers after the discussion topic. So, what do you have for us this week, James?
All right, so your first question tonight, and for those of you who haven't played along with us before, I'll be giving about 4 trivia questions every week, and we'll get the answers later on in the show. But first things first, the first question. What was the first Disney park to open outside of the U.S.?
Oh, wasn't that Disneyland Paris?
All right, so I didn't even get my little notebook down. I gotta get my little notebook so I can write down Terry. For those of you who have been listening to DL Weekly and are now listening to Mouse Kingdoms Weekly, it's funny because people have been writing in and they call us TNT, and this podcast, it's also TNT. So apparently to host a Disney podcast, you have to have a first name that starts with T. So Terry, you're saying Paris.
Yes.
I am going to say Tokyo.
All right. Second question. Going to Disney World. What section of the Magic Kingdom has no bathrooms?
Oh.
Goodness.
I feel like Terry should have this one in the bag.
Yeah.
Well, let me think. Where were your kids not screaming to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, right. I'm trying to...
What section? Like, are you talking about a land? Or...
Yes.
Okay, a land. I am not as familiar with Magic Kingdom as I am with Disneyland. I could tell you where every bathroom is in Disneyland.
It's not going to help you with this question.
No. It's just the Magic Kingdom.
Just the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
No bathrooms. I want to say, I'm going to go with Adventureland. Why? I don't know. I'm just talking from the top of my head.
Well, Tomorrowland definitely has bathrooms. Main Street definitely has bathrooms.
Yes.
Fantasyland has bathrooms.
So I'm just trying to think, why wouldn't there be bathrooms in every land?
Maybe. You know what it is? It's the smallest land. And it's kind of tucked between where there's other bathrooms. I'm going to say Liberty Square.
Well, you are going to love the logic behind this one when we get back to that. But question 3.
Oh, Lord.
We are now moving on to Disneyland Paris. What famous celebrity sang at the open of Space Mountain?
A celebrity sung at the opening of Space Mountain?
Yes.
In Disneyland Paris?
In Disneyland Paris. And if you want a hint,
yeah.
I am happy to give a hint on this one.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
All right. So this famous musician dropped in during the European leg of their tour and gave a special performance to 40,000 visitors when it opened in
1995. So at least that gives us a good... And is it a group or a person?
It's a person.
It's a person.
Male or female?
We're going to do 20 questions.
Yeah, it's a male.
Oh, darn. I was going to say Celine Dion. but that ruled that out.
Yeah. Nope.
1995.
I'll say Elton John.
Oh, that's a good one. 1995.
I know.
Just because I know he's a big Disney fan, I'm going to say Michael Jackson. MJ. Good old MJ.
Good guess. All right. Question number four. Our last one for this week. Alice in Wonderland at Shanghai Disney was the first to do what?
Like the attraction?
The attraction. Yes.
It was the first to do something.
It was. But what was it?
It was the first to do something like in any attraction?
Of
or
the
just...
Alice in Wonderland attractions.
Paint the roses red.
Bold choice.
I feel like that might be the one. Is that the one that, well, you can't tell me, but I think that's the one that's like the boat ride or something, isn't it? I feel like it's a boat ride. Because at Disneyland, it's a dark ride. And in Disneyland Paris, it's a maze. Because it's the Alice in Wonderland maze. Yeah. And... how is Alice? Oh, is it just that is Alex just represented by the teacups, Terry, in Disney World?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some bushes that are, you know, cut in the shapes of them.
Yeah.
But are, you know, character meat. But yeah, the teacups is probably it.
Okay.
I'm going to say maybe that Alice is physically in the ride.
Oh.
Ooh, that's a good guess.
That's a good one. Because a lot of the original dark rides in Disneyland, in some of them, you don't see the main character because the idea was that you were the main character. So, like, in Alice in Wonderland attraction, you are Alice going through, because you don't really see Alice in the whole attraction,
right.
So you are Alice. So
right.
That's a great guess, Terry.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's the right guess.
Yeah, right?
We'll find out, or if the listeners are screaming the right answer to you, you'll have to wait to hear how they did after the discussion topic.
Yes. So this week, because it is our first episode, we want you guys to be able to get to know us a little bit better. So we're going to talk about what's called our Disney story. So what got us involved in Disney, what we like about Disney, kind of some of our past and history. So you know who we are. We hope over the course of this podcast that we will learn who you are through feedback and meeting some of you in the chat or supporters or actually in the parks or something. Let's get to start with what's easy for us, which is you guys getting to know us. So, Terry, what got you into Disney, and where does your passion come from for the parks?
What got me into Disney? I think the more I went to the parks, the more I got to enjoy and evolve into those parks. I think when people say that it's a magical place, it really is. I mean, there is just a different feeling when you go there. I mean, I can sit in front of that castle with a Mickey bar and I can just sit and stare at that castle for hours. You know, it's just, it takes you away from everything, puts you in a different state of mind. I love it there.
Were you a Disney fan before the parks? Like, is that what kind of got you there to begin with?
No, actually, we just, you know, I think I first went when I was probably in my 30s, when the girls were little, and like, oh, let's all go to Disney World, because, you know, that's what families do.
Right.
And so we went. I'm like, well, this is pretty awesome. So then we just went a little more frequently as time went on, and now it's getting to be where it's, I want to go a lot more than time allows, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that's almost anybody probably listening to this show probably
sure.
feels that way too.
Right. I'm very envious of those annual pass holders or the locals that can go, oh, I'm just going to go for the weekend. I'm like, oh, you are so lucky to be able to just, you know, just drive up there for the weekend or for the day, you know.
Maybe one of these days on one of these episodes there's a special perk or something. We'll have to kind of show some people this. But I had actually never been to Terry's house until I went over to set up the equipment to do this show. And... I know that Terry loves Disney and Mickey Mouse, but oh man, your house is like Mickey and Disney everywhere.
Well, not,
like
quite everywhere, but there's plenty there.
It's well represented, I guess.
Yes. I have a nice husband that he can let me do all that stuff. He puts up with it.
What does he think about your Disney love?
I mean, he'll go along with it.
So I take it he's not a huge Disney lover.
Well, maybe more than he admits.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? What makes me happy keeps me happy. You know, what do they say? Happy wife, happy life. So,
well, that's good. Yeah, I mean, yeah. But there could be worse things. I mean, to take a line from my mom, I mean, I could be an alcoholic. Like, you know, at least you're doing something fun and wholesome. It's Disney.
Right. What about you?
Oh, well, it's complicated. So obviously, as a small kid, my mom introduced me to the, you know, all the Disney movies. Like, what kid didn't, you know, do Disney movies? In fact, this weekend cleaning the basement, we came across a bunch of the old poofy cased VHS copies of some of the old, you know, Disney animated movies. So as a young kid, that was kind of my beginning with Disney. And then I don't remember why, but my mom decided to take me and my middle brother, because I have two older brothers, and she took me and my middle brother to Disneyland in, like, I want to say like 1988, so I would have been seven. And I just fell in love with it. I came back and I was so inspired by the place. I would build models of Disneyland in our kitchen and in our backyard. And we'd go to the parks and we'd buy the music CDs and stuff, and I'd listen to the music and drive my mom crazy, because why couldn't I like something else in addition to Disneyland? So that's kind of what got me into it. And then, of course, you know, we went to the parks, I want to say four or five times between 1988 and I'd say 1996. And then I didn't go again until 2000, 2001, I want to say. And then it was 2001 because California Adventure had opened. And then shortly after that, I got an annual pass and I went all the time because I lived in California.
Oh, nice.
It was still a 7-hour drive, but, you know, I mean, we would leave. I mean, we were young, right? So we would leave to drive down there. We'd leave at like 10 p.m. the night before and drive throughout the entire night all the way down to Southern California. We'd arrive in the morning when the park was opening, like when the parking garage first, you know, would open in the morning. We'd park, we'd go get in line, we'd go to the park. We'd be exhausted at about noon, but we'd force ourselves to stay going. We'd go check into our hotel or whatever. And then we'd come back to the park and stay till close. And then we'd come back as zombies and pass out for the night and, you know, do a week at the park. And we did that, you know, two or three times a year when we had the annual pass. And I just found myself just keep loving it. And I did a show on YouTube for a little while. I worked at a local news station here, and I got really involved in doing news, and I was always reading about Disney news anyway. So I decided to do a YouTube show, and that became a lot of work just because of the video aspect. And so I kind of stopped doing it for a few years. I really wanted to get back into it when I was going to school again. And I thought podcasting is really popular. And so I said, we should do a podcast about it. And I got my friend Teresa to do a podcast with me. And we've been doing that a little over a year and a half now. And then I wanted to do another podcast about other Disney parks, because I also like Disney World. And I really want to go to all the other parks around the world. And there are plenty of other Disney World podcasts. So I didn't want to do another podcast on Disney World. I wanted to do one about all the other Disney parks. So, Terry, I knew you, and I knew you love Disney parks. And I thought, you know what? I think you'd be a great co-host, because Teresa said that she wasn't crazy and she wasn't going to do another podcast. She's got enough going on. So she thinks I'm nuts. She's interested to see how the show turns out. I think it'll turn out right. She's kind of giving me the oomph to keep it going, because it's like, oh, you think I'm crazy, I'm going to make it work. So we'll see how it goes. But so that's kind of my Disney story and how I got involved in it, and my passion. And I really just, I want to see, it's on my bucket list. I want to see all the Disney parks. How about you for your bucket list? Is that kind of on your bucket list as well?
Oh, sure. To see all the parks and The other item on my bucket list is Halloween. I want to do Halloween and trick-or-treat.
You haven't done Halloween at Disney World?
No, I have not. I know. That's like the number one on my bucket list. I want to dress up. I want to go trick-or-treating. I know I'm an adult, but you're not an adult when you're at Disney. So you got to just go have fun and enjoy. And yeah, trick-or-treat. I want to see the Headless Horseman at the parade. And I heard the fireworks and the shows after are just unreal. So I wanna go. That's my bucket list. And of course, go to all the other parks. But I'm not sure if time and expense will allow that. But you never know.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Know. Yep, you never know. I know we have neighbors down the street from us, and they're Disney people. And I think they've gone to Tokyo and I want to say Disneyland Paris. I'm like, oh my gosh. So, envy of the neighborhood.
Well, I was telling James, I said, whenever we get around, because I'm going to say if, or I'm not if, I'm going to say whenever we get around, because I'm going to will this to happen. I said, it's going to be tough, because the thing that makes it expensive is that the parks themselves are actually really inexpensive compared to the U.S. parks, like for admission. The thing that makes it expensive is just getting to them.
Traveling.
Fly, yep.
Right, right.
Yeah, so I said, we're going to have to hit them all in like one big crazy trip. We're going to have to save up a ton of money and take a ton of time off work, like a month. And we're just going to have to go hit them all up. We're going to have to go hit Tokyo and hit Hong Kong and hit Shanghai and then go over and hit, you know, Paris maybe just because of how, you know, distance wise and stuff works. And so that's kind of on my list, although I feel like, I don't know, to me, I think it'll be really exciting because it'll be new Disney parks, so it's not like you're seeing the same thing over and over again.
Right.
So it won't get boring because it's like, oh, I've seen a Disney park, but like now I've seen Tokyo, and Tokyo's different than Magic Kingdom, and that's different than Hong Kong, and that's different than Shanghai. So I don't think I'll get like bored in that month of like, oh man, we have to ride like the fourth version of Pirates, because I think it's all going to feel different. And that was something that surprised me. When I went to Disney World, is I thought Disney World was going to feel like Disneyland, and it didn't. It feels totally different, even though, you know, both parks have a Big Thunder, and both parks have a castle, and both parks have, you know, a Pirates. It just is so different.
Right. That's what I hear. So that's why we got to go to all of them, so we can see the differences.
Mm-hmm.
I hear ya.
Yeah, so I'm with you. Although, and I'm with you with the Halloween party. I also want to go to a Halloween party, and the Headless Horseman, definitely one of the things that I want to see. Are you a fan of the Hocus Pocus movie?
I am. I think they're pretty funny because they're at the Halloween party also.
Yes.
Yeah, the sisters. Yep.
Yes, I saw they just started doing their show. I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, maybe for Halloween, the Halloween party. And oh man, I love Hocus Pocus, and I saw that show, and the people that they cast to be the Sanderson sisters are almost like the actual movie Sanderson sisters, and it just makes me so excited. And I love villains, the Disney villains.
Oh yeah.
And they're all part of this show. And,
right.
Oh.
And that's the only time you can really see a lot of the villains is at Halloween.
Definitely, definitely.
You know? So, yep.
I'll go with you, Terry. If you need someone to go with you for Halloween, I'm there.
All right. Sounds good. I have to get that jug for Dimes for Disney going again.
Dimes for Disney? Yeah.
Yeah. I take 2-liter bottles of soda. You rinse it out and you decorate with all Mickey and Disney stuff. And then you fill it up with dimes. And I want to say I got like $400.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a fun way to save up, you know.
James, we got to start paying cash for everything and putting our dimes in a 2-liter.
Yeah, all the dimes. I know. I'd go to a store and I'd say, oh, you know, you have change. I'd say, could I have all dimes? And they'd look at me like, oh, people usually ask for quarters, like for laundromat, you know? So then I have to explain why I'm saving dimes. Oh, sure, sure. And then they would, you know, dig in for the dimes for me. So, yeah, that's a fun thing to do, especially like with kids, too. You know, they collect all their little dimes and
the
kind of fun little saying, Dimes for Disney. So
yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find that picture and send you the picture of my full jug.
Yeah,
dimes for Disney. Dimes nice. For Disney. There you go.
What is? And you don't have to pick one. You can pick a couple if you want. But what are your favorite attractions at Disney?
Well, you know, I've only been to Disney World. I want to say I really like the Railroad. I could go on that train and go around the parks over and over again. I don't know what it is, but I just like sitting on that train and going around. I'm trying to think if I would pick some attraction from every park.
Oh, you're getting crazy now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. But I want to say the railroad is one of my favorites.
You know, that's one thing that I'll kind of agree with you on with the railroad between Disney World and Disneyland is Disney World, like, the train has a lot of cool spots where there's kind of like sections where it's kind of open grass and stuff. So like you feel, you know, it feels very, very train-like. Not that the Disneyland one doesn't, but there's obviously, you know, they've tried to use all their available space at Disneyland. So there's not a lot of kind of open space for the train to chill out and mm-hmm. go through. So I do like that a lot about Magic Kingdom. I will say, I mean, I love pirates. I'm a huge just pirate in general fan, like not even just the attraction, just the category of pirates.
Pirates, right, sure.
Yeah. So I love Pirates of the Caribbean.
Talk like a pirate day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I'm just thinking like, oh, we should do a whole episode where we talk like a pirate. I got to pick something that's not Disneyland, though. This isn't a Disneyland podcast. I got to pick an attraction that I like that's not that. I like in Animal Kingdom. I like Expedition Everest is really good.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The safari is nice there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the safari. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm missing... You know what I really like? And this is just me being silly me, but I really like Spaceship Earth as well at Epcot.
Never been on there.
Really?
Yep, never been on there.
Wow, you're missing out. That's a great attraction. Just, I didn't even know that there was an attraction inside Spaceship Earth. And then we went on and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is inside that. That's so cool.
Yeah, inside the golf ball, yep.
Yep. I don't know. I'll have to see... what attractions are like when Galaxy's Edge opens and I experienced Toy Story Land. I heard Slinky Dog Dash is supposed to be really good.
Yep. That one is good. And Slinky Dog, I think that's like the main one over there that everybody just gets in line for.
Yeah, because there's the alien swirling saucers too, and they have a similar thing like that in Disneyland it's okay. I mean, it's not like, you know, the best attraction ever, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Well, my other question was going to be what parks have we visited, but you've only been to Disney World. I've been to Disneyland a jillion times. I've been to Disney World once, and I've been to Disneyland Paris for one day.
Nice.
That's it.
Well, you got a couple more up on me, so I got to catch up.
I'm telling you, Terry, I've been, for the listeners, I've been trying to convince Terry to go to Disneyland for a while now, because that's where, you know, I love Disneyland, so trying to get her out there for D23. She's a D23 member now.
I am a gold member, finally.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got the pin set, right?
No, I did not.
Oh, that's right. You signed up you got that just
like,
before.
Yeah, like 3 days before. Yeah, like end of December I signed up. And then, so I'll just have to renew my membership so I can get the pin set.
I told Teresa, because we, for the podcast, we both... we both just got the one membership. We got the family membership, so you can do up to four people. And I was like, well, that works out great, because it's me and her and James and Vern, and, you know, because James and Vern are both producers for the show. And so we're like, hey, four people, done, no big deal. But then the pin set thing got announced, and I told her, I said, you really are probably going to want to get your own membership, because you're going to want these pins, and I'm not going to fight you for them. Yeah. They're great looking pins.
Yeah, they look awesome. It's a nice set. Yep. And it's presented well too.
Yeah. And so I'm very excited about it. So, I think that's kind of all of our Disney backstory. I don't think we talked a lot about a lot of different things tonight. I don't think we have too much more to talk about that. I'm sure as the show goes on, we will share more and more about our history and our experiences, but it's probably good for now.
For a start.
So, yeah. If you're going to go to the park soon and want to be wearing some Mouse Kingdoms weekly swag, head on over to mousekingdoms.com/store to pick some up. We got a couple different logo variations on there. And as time goes on, we'll probably come up with some more ideas to put in there. But there's some t-shirts and some cell phone cases and stuff like that. So if you want anything like that, head on over there for that.
Now it's time to return to James and Trivia Land to get the answers to this week's trivia. Hopefully I was right.
I'm hoping I was right too. I don't know if you listened to last week's I don't know if you listened to last week's episode of DL Weekly, but oh man, we did, Teresa and I did terrible.
Yeah, it did not go well for them.
So let's hope that we did better.
All right. Fingers crossed.
All right.
So our first question was, what was the first Disney park to open outside the U.S.?
And Terry, you said?
Disneyland Paris.
And I said Tokyo Disneyland.
And Tig's got a point.
Woo, I got a point.
Tokyo Disneyland opened 15th of April, 1983.
15th of April?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Anniversary is coming up.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
All right, our second question was, which section of the Magic Kingdom has no bathrooms?
This one's tough.
It's very tough.
I said Liberty Square because, for me, it's like the smallest area, and I feel like the bathrooms, there's bathrooms in Fantasyland kind of up by the Haunted Mansion, and then there's bathrooms like elsewhere, like in Adventureland, which kind of goes against what Terry said for her answer, but I feel like I don't remember bathrooms being right there in Liberty Square, but I feel like I'm probably wrong. Well, because there's the Hall of Presidents. There's probably a bathroom in there now that I think about it. What'd you say, Terry?
Linda, I thought you said Adventureland.
Yeah.
So it's another point for Tig. It's Liberty Square.
Really?
Yeah, so the Imagineers wanted to keep the area as authentic to colonial times as possible, and they didn't have indoor plumbing in the 1700s.
I'm kind of shocked, actually, but I'm glad that I got that one, I guess. Did you remember the story about the paving there? That could be a good little
tidbit. Yeah.
Go on.
Oh,
you
Terry.
You don't know about the pavement?
I don't know if I remember about the pavement.
Oh. Yeah, there's like a colored stream that goes through that area that's, I think, from like outhouses.
Yeah. Yeah, because back in the day, people would just open their windows and dump their latrines out into the street. Yep. And so it's kind of supposed to be reminiscent of that in a Disney way.
Yeah, I don't think I blocked that from my memory.
I don't think a lot of people know that. Yeah.
Well, they do now.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
All right, our third question was, what famous celebrity sang at the opening of Space Mountain in Disneyland Paris?
Hmm.
I said Michael Jackson just because I thought you said it was a he.
I did.
And it wasn't a group.
It was not a group.
And I know Michael Jackson loves Disney stuff, and he was still alive in 95, so that's what I said. And Terry?
I said Elton John.
Terry's right.
Whoa!
It's Elton John.
Oh, you like that.
Terry's on the board.
Watch out.
How did you guess that, Terry?
It was just a guess. I'm not sure. Yeah.
I don't know why, but my co-hosts always seem to have a very good way of just guessing the right answer.
Some of these instincts, just good.
It's those female instincts. They've just got it.
Mm-hmm. All right, and our final question for this week. Alice in Wonderland at Shanghai Disney was the first to do what?
And I said it was the first boat ride. And what did you say, Terry?
I said that she's actually in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Tay, you're going to be really disappointed to find out that it's a maze.
Really?
It's the first one that is based on Tim Burton's adaptation of the book.
So my yammering on about the maze in Paris was kind of right, but I'm in the wrong park.
Yeah, I don't care about the maze part. I just care that was based on Tim Burton's movie.
Oh, Tim Burton's. Gotcha. Huh. Well, at least...
there you go.
So Terry got one. I got two. That's not bad, I guess.
Not a bad start.
At least we didn't get a zero.
It's true.
That's true. Oh. That's true.
Well, we did better. Terry, you and I did better than Teresa and I did last week. So
All right.
We should be proud of that.
And James, you said those were easy questions, huh?
Well, we'll see what else we get.
He's going to have to notch it down a little bit.
And maybe a good way for me to get help to notch it down would be the way that I prefer to ask questions, which is from you listeners. If you want to send in some trivia, I'm happy to ask your questions over mine. You can send me an email to trivia@mousekingdoms.com.
Yes, and in fact, a lot of the trivia we get for DL Weekly comes from listeners, so please send in listener questions. You will get attributed. You will hear your name on the show. So,
and they're usually better questions than what I can ask.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, it saves James having to do that. We get a lot of good stories, though, out of those. People send in, like, whole stories and, like, backstories. Like, we had one a couple weeks ago that was about the original stage in Videopolis that, like, all these bands, and apparently, because it wasn't original to Videopolis, it was somewhere else. So, lots of good, cool stuff like that. So, well, we will be back next week with more Disney Parks news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.